Many of us want the express lane to what we need, don't we? Need energy? Why sleep a little more when you can drink or eat something that promises to boost your energy? Dealing with short-term or chronic pain? Then you can spend time in therapy, add changes into your lifestyle, or, right, drink or eat something that promises to help manage or eliminate your pain. Now, if you select that fast track, what you ingest is a very crucial decision. A substance a growing number of people are reaching for is kratom. You may have heard about it, might be using it. How much do you know about kratom? Joining us to help us understand what kratom is all about and whether expressed concerns by some are warranted is a senior fellow on public policy with the American Kratom Association, Mac Haddow. How are you today, Mac?
I'm great. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, good to have you here. Present some facts and reality as opposed to a lack of knowledge and false conclusions. AmericanKratom.org. Learn more about the American Kratom Association. Let's just get down to the basics first for those who might be aware of the name but not of what it is used for, designed to be used for. We can get into that as well as we go along here. But what is the substance that we are talking about here all about?
Kratom is a plant that is grown principally in Southeast Asia, although and has done for centuries, but its increased popularity in the United States has attracted attention in tropical areas like Hawaii and Florida, where they're growing kratom now, and it's becoming an expanding business because of the great demand of American consumers to have access to safe and high-quality kratom raw materials.
The key part with that, what you just said, is the safety. And usually when something is sold for human consumption, there's some overseeing body that controls it, regulates it, all of the above. Is that so with kratom, at least at this point in time?
It is. And unfortunately, the Food and Drug Administration has completely abandoned their duty, their statutory duty, to protect the safety of consumers by issuing regulations for products like kratom. And the reason is the FDA hates dietary supplements and botanical supplements, and kratom falls into the botanical side. The FDA has aggressively opposed these products, and in fact, the Congress had to step in 1994 and pass what's known as the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, which compelled the FDA to do their statutory duty to issue regulations on the production of safe dietary products. And they have to do the same here with kratom, because we at the American Kratom Association, for example, have identified more than 80 products that are being illegally marketed by kratom vendors that are soliciting customers by making illegal therapeutic claims about kratom. All 80 of those complaints have been ignored by the FDA, and they focus instead on trying to ban kratom. And the scientific basis for doing so has not been met. They've tried twice in the United States and been rejected, and once internationally, where the standards are lower for scheduling, or the schedule is a ban, and that's what the FDA wants to do. They want to ban kratom. 15 million consumers in America use kratom, and a sector of that use are people that are struggling with addictions to opioids. There's not a bigger crisis in America today from a healthcare perspective than the overdoses. More than 107,000 Americans, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, credits kratom as being a harm reduction tool that should be available to consumers, that the FDA is doing everything it can to try to ban it. So we argue for responsible standards for regulation, good manufacturing practices, proper labeling, restricting these products from kids, and then you can allow consumers to make informed choices about the products that are properly labeled, to consume them to enhance their health and well-being.
Just as a point of reference for you listening, as either a direct or indirect result of the FDA's actions and or inactions, we have five states which have outright banned kratom: Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Rhode Island, Vermont, Wisconsin, also parts of California, Colorado, Florida, and Illinois. So, Mac, with those bans in place, and kratom is available capsules, tablets, powders, teas, gummies. Here in New Jersey, we've recently seen marijuana edibles come into availability, and it's pretty much a parallel in most of those cases. With those bans put into place, and it seems to be looking to be a spreading situation, that's basically denying what your findings are, beliefs are, that there's something that could be helpful to a select number of people that is going to be held back from them in a conventional way, so they'll go exploring on their own and maybe fall into those dark areas that are being unregulated and could actually prove to be harmful to them.
No question. We operate on two principles. One is science should dictate the public policy, and the FDA is ignoring the science, and it's out there, and they've tried, and they've been rejected. In what the Assistant Secretary for Health at the Department of Health and Human Services called embarrassingly poor evidence and data and a failure to consider the overall public health. So science should dictate public policy on kratom. And then the second principle is that products that are made available should be manufactured using good manufacturing practices. They should be free from adulterants, no synthesized alkaloids to enhance the effects of a kratom product, and they should be labeled properly so people know how to use them safely. That's the benchmark for all dietary supplements, and the FDA shouldn't be permitted to spread disinformation, and unfortunately, that led to those six states banning kratom from 2014 through 2017. Now the tide has turned. Vermont has already rescinded their ban on kratom, so there's only five states, the states of Rhode Island, Indiana, and Wisconsin. I was just in a hearing in Wisconsin 2 days ago, and Arkansas are all taking action now to evaluate legislation to remove those bans and to properly regulate kratom. The only state that hasn't started that process yet, although we expect they will soon, is Alabama. The American people have been misled by the FDA. The FDA used inaccurate and what the Assistant Secretary for Health called embarrassingly poor evidence and data to justify regulatory actions that merely allow the FDA to expand their regulatory control over people, and it has nothing to do with the public health. Johns Hopkins University did a study of adult kratom consumers using kratom to wean off of very dangerous opioids, and they found that 87% of the respondents reported a reduction in withdrawal symptoms. It is saving people's lives. 35% reported they had completely replaced opioids with kratom within a year. Those are the kinds of scientific standards that ought to be followed, and the FDA refuses to do it, unfortunately. So 11 states have passed the Kratom Consumer Protection Act. New Jersey is one of the states that's looking at doing it. We have it in probably 20 more states actively being considered by legislatures. We're hoping that the New Jersey legislature will protect consumers and they will enact the Kratom Consumer Protection Act.
So I'm Mac Hatto, public policy senior fellow with the American Kratom Association, AmericanKratom.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What you just laid before, it's basically, is this a fair equivalency that kratom is for opioid addicts what Nicorette is for people who want to stop smoking tobacco?
It is, and I think it's a very valuable harm reduction tool, and the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse confirms that. She has testified before Congress that kratom is viewed by many in this addiction recovery community as a valuable harm reduction tool. Most people that consume kratom use it for, like you would a replacement of a cup of coffee, because it gives you an energy boost and increased focus. At a little higher dose of kratom, it can help you manage anxiety and symptoms of depression. And then at the higher dose, it's helping people get off of opioids. But also, it helps people manage acute and chronic pain without the intervention of chemical formulations of drugs, which many people simply can't tolerate, or they're susceptible to addiction. That's why kratom is such a valuable tool to help in that sector of the consuming public.
And with the fact that it is a bridge away from addiction to opioids, is there any element of kratom that can in turn become addictive? And I say that with full confession that you can buy a bottle of bourbon, for example. Not a good idea to drink the whole bottle one time, because something bad is really going to happen. Is there such a thing as you can overuse kratom to a detrimental effect?
So it's possible, but all of the science shows that you cannot overdose on kratom itself. All of the deaths that have been attributed allegedly to kratom by opportunistic trial lawyers who are looking for a pocket to sue, it's really been polydrug use, and that's been documented even by the FDA and by the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, by the Centers for Disease Control, and by the National Institutes of Health. all of these deaths are polydrug use, people struggling with these issues. So that isn't a ding on kratom. You can develop a dependence on kratom if you don't use it properly. But even if you're dependent, the profile for weaning off of a kratom dependency is much like caffeine, because it takes about a week to 10 days. You have an upset stomach, a runny nose, and maybe a headache, and then you're done. That's significantly different than the profile for a recovery or withdrawal from opioids, which take months, if not years, and intensive counter strategies, including taking very powerful drugs to replace the opioid and to help you wean off of it. Kratom doesn't have that kind of safety profile and addiction liability profile, and that's been documented by the science.
I have to say that if Mac's words are an example of the work of the American Kratom Association, they are a wealth of accurate information, because if you go to the FDA page about kratom, one side it would be an understatement, and on my part, it's a matter of having a full peripheral information that you can make the best judgment and choice of what you want to do. Is there a risk? Well, it depends on your personal situation and what you are dealing with, what you're trying to break away from. But again, that's where the information comes in. That's why the American Kratom Association is a valuable resource. For that information, AmericanKratom.org. We've been joined by their Senior Fellow on Public Policy, Mac Haddow. Mac, thanks for the full view as opposed to a narrow view that other sources are giving. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having the opportunity to talk about Kratom.